Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Now, we all absolutely know that this is Run DMC Christmas in the Hollis. Comes off an extremely famous Christmas movie.
Which we'll discuss right at the end. And he nearly got it right, Run. It's December 23rd, we're recording this. He said December 24th, so it was close 24. Enough.
We're close enough.
Recording December 23rd. This is our next NBA pod. We've got so much to go through leading up to these sort of Christmas games.
Both the NBA and the NFL have been plunged into chaos as of late. NBA probably more so because they're actually postponing games. Like the NFL, you know, as we sort of discussed at the end of our last NFL pod after week 14. That semi-trailer just rolls on. They'll just push
they postpone them like a couple of days, so
no, that's yeah, exactly. They're just like, we have to get these through, so you know, it's in the middle
sort of thing. So look, thankfully, of what I've seen, we're not gonna harp on about COVID, you know, for the most part. But thankfully, what I've seen, the people that are getting it are fairly fine because they've been double vaccinated. So,
that's right.
Might change some, like NFL looking to already change their protocol rules a bit because of it. So,
And the NBA as well. Like, even, you know, I guess, you know, that we could say this young season, like we're at Christmas already. Yeah, that's right. We're all about the Christmas cheer here. But apparently already, is it this week leading up to Christmas, already 25% of the league so far this year has been in COVID protocols. That's a bit of a scary sort of number. It's going to come down to the fact of when the superstars start to come down with it. And you know, you could go into how many players have been into it, but there's been one very high profile player only in the last sort of 24 hours or so in Luka Doncic that's gone into COVID protocol. I think that's the highest profile guy so far. Yeah. Like we've had Trae Young in there, like, you know, we've had other all stars in there, but I think this latest one in Luka Doncic, That's the highest profile superstar, I think, that's been in it so far.
And look,
funnily enough, without him, Kristaps Porzingis or Tim Hardaway Jr., and they still beat Minnesota the other day.
Yes, they did. It's becoming a little bit like, remember that movie, just because all these old heads like Isaiah Thomas and Joe Johnson are popping up everywhere. Remember that movie, The Replacements?
Lance Stevenson.
The Replacements with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's becoming like that. But I'll go back to what
Joe
you said.
Joe Johnson's 40. He hasn't been in the league in 4 years.
Oh, there was a beautiful, I don't know if you watched it today, but it was a beautiful ISO step up shot. It was awesome. It was really good, actually.
Typical ISO Joe. And I don't know, little known fact. Well, whether it is a little known fact or not, by the time when he came in the league in 2001, which is a long time ago now, 2000, I think, you know, he was actually drafted by Boston.
Yes, I did know that.
And then he played 4 years in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, all right. I actually remember him in a Phoenix uniform before he sort of got his, I guess, notoriety at Atlanta for a long time. But yeah, you know, his first 5 years in the league, one in Boston and four in Phoenix.
It's funny you mentioned just before Luka Doncic, because that's the first topic I wanted to talk about, namely Luka Doncic and you know, I'm sorry, but your boy Zion Williamson. Now, we did sort of talk about this last week in the NFL pod without sort of going into the too much. But, look, my concern for both of them, and only because he's getting injured more, Zion, but my concern, well, let's start with Luka. Luka, this is the second year in a row that he's come back, and at least he's come out and admitted it this time, but he's come back from off-season overweight and sluggish.
Not in shape. Yeah,
he's not in shape. He admitted straight after the Olympics, he did admit that, he enjoyed himself in Slovenia. He just did. He looks sluggish.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? Like,
Look, and same as Zion.
And his numbers are a little down on I think what people were kind of expecting out of him this year. I don't think he's really sort of lived up to the off-season hype this year. I think a lot of people were sort of out there thinking he was going to totally improve out of sight again this year. And I think he's been him. They've been a little underwhelming. I think the big surprise is, you know, after the early injuries to Porzingis this year, Porzingis has come back and actually played okay and fueled this team a little bit while Doncic has been a little bit underwhelming.
Well, he came back. We reported to training camp at reportedly, but it looks like he was 260 pounds for the second consecutive year. He's cut it down to 230, and he's training during the year. But I think it's just I'm not going to go on your boy Zion because I think they both purely need to stay in shape. It's probably more of a mental than a physical thing, is, you know, especially with Zion, because he has, you know, Luka, you know, knock on wood for him, he hasn't had so many injuries, and they're niggling ones.
No, he had that ankle injury. I think it was a couple of weeks ago where he got landed on.
Yeah,
and his ankle,
but not Zion's injuries. Not like, you know, he's
no, that's right. That's in-game injuries, and Zion's is not in-game injuries because he hasn't been in any games this year.
Well, and obviously that's the concern, because the reason I put both of them on the spotlight, because they both are on the spotlight. Luka's a generational player and probably going to lead this league for the next 10, 20 years. And I honestly think Zion can too. I really do. I think he had that small sample size last year that before he got injured, that he was from 20 feet, he was unguardable. He was unguardable. From 20 feet out.
He was essentially like a shorter version of Giannis. The way that he finishes around the basket, explosiveness,
I've seen a lot of Kevin Garnett in him. Like, he had that ferocious, you know, a lot more, and he's a lot more to his game, but just the small sample size, he was like Giannis, but I think he was more during that stretch, more unguardable than Giannis because of his size, strength, and because he can sort of he can control the ball pretty well. Like, he's got a good sort of assist game. So that's what I mean.
He's got good finesse around the hoop as well. That's not so much that you can't teach that, but that's a thing that not a lot of guys have. Like Kyrie.
No.
We could get into him a bit later too, but he's got unbelievable touch around the hoop. Zion is like that. He can play through contact just purely on the size of his body, which you would say would be, you know, an NFL tight end type body. But I think he needs to find that balance of still having that bigger frame. He doesn't need to be gigantic, but having that bigger frame, but still having the ability to be athletic as what he is and be able to move around like he has to be a blast from the past. He has to be somebody like Charles Barkley.
Yeah, well, he has to be. I'm surprised, you know, I guess I don't know the whole situation, but I'm surprised you look at the two guys that made a standout that absolutely look after their body. You know, obviously LeBron James, and he's probably not going to reach out to this guy, but Tom Brady. You know, these are guys that are in the late 30s, 40s that, yes, pour money into their body, but have had longevity careers.
No, for this reason. But those guys never come into the league hurt too. Zion come into the league hurt.
Yeah, but I understand that. But I do understand that. But why is he? I mean, I suppose you can't really pick on, like, just because he's a little overweight. That's why he's getting hurt. You can't pick on that. You really can't pick on.
No, you can't, because, you know, even while he was in college, like, you know, he was still a larger type body.
Oh,
but
that frame in college was that. Oh my God, that frame in college was
so dominant.
Oh, it's when you seen him, it was ridiculous.
You can blame Nike and their poor PG3 shoes, really.
What do you think he's going to Jordans?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, straight up would have been like, I need something more durable.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Look, and for everybody's sake, I hope he's back, because when he's, again, that small sample size last year, he was exciting. I mean, I found him exciting. I think also for the fact, which I'm just looking now, I think, when's his rookie extension contract coming up?
This is technically, oh no, hang on, no, 19, 20, yeah, 20, 20, yeah,
this
2021,
is his,
this is his third year.
I know, yeah, it sounds crazy, right. He's played 85 games total, and this is his third year.
Yeah, that's right. And he's missed 90 plus.
He's only 21 too, so you know, there's that.
No, that's right. And some people need to work into their body and you know, have a look at no greater person than that, especially as of late. Well, two really, you know, in Giannis and Anthony Davis when they first come into the league, very slim. You know, it's the other end of the scale, very slim. Okay. And it took them a while to sort of, you know, I guess, grow into that body. Zion now has got to find that happy medium of where he wants to be, whether it's going to be around that, whether it's going to be 240 or 250, he's not going to lose that explosiveness and that touch around the hoop if he gets down to 240 pounds.
No. People lose
their mind. He won't have that strength. Yeah, he will.
I think 250s even to me is just that little bit. That should be enough. He doesn't have to probably go to 240. I think 250 is enough. So he's rookie extension available next year, like after this season. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I mean,
he's got to get game time this year. Like there's BS out there that the Pels should be shutting him down already for next year. So for God's sakes, like he was just at the end of November, he was cleared for 5-on-5 practices, ready to roll. Now all of a sudden, it's come out that he's had to have another injection in the foot, so he's basically shut down for another month or so.
So okay, so before we move on, then looking at where he is now and everything. You're a Pelicans fan. No, I'll go one above that. You're the Pelicans GM. From what you have now, and you know what he's going through in the injuries, do you sign him to that rookie max extension?
Not now. I don't even talk. I wouldn't even be talking about that.
No, but they're gonna have to look at it after this season, because after if they start next season, then he's completely open for everybody after that to look at sort of starting to sign him. So that's what I'm getting at. Like, do you purely based on potential, or do you, I'm not going to say he's a chip, but is that an option? I don't know. Cause I think they need to sign him because I see the potential there.
No, well, that's right. Well, look, you know, like you said, you know, we talked about this before. The media, it's unbelievable how, you know, the US media is, to me, that's what it seems like. They're trying to force him out of New Orleans. Not force him out of New Orleans. They're trying to coerce him out of there. Oh, he doesn't want to be with this franchise. This franchise doesn't know how to look after their stars. And it's like, well, where's he going to go?
Yeah, no,
he just simply won't be able to turn down the money off that first rookie extension.
No. No, that's right. And again, he's 21.
He'll lose anywhere between $50 and $60 million.
He won't. And that it'll be great, good for him to sign it, and it'll be good for the Pelicans based on potential. And
but just have a look at what the Pels have been doing lately. Like, they started off awful.
He'll be 26 by the time that contract finishes. So no, I would. I mean, purely based on potential alone, I would be signing him. If I was a Pels,
I know what you're saying, you need to see something,
but still, I don't know.
No, that's right. You have to, but you also have to be wary of that sort of stuff as well. You need to see him on the court. You need to see him. You need to let him know, right, this is where we want you to be at this point of the season. I think everybody was sort of hoping that he would be around on the court by now. That's obviously been shot in the foot, no pun intended. He has to at least be playing, I'm thinking, half the season this year, which is going to be 41 games. Prove to the organization that he's going to be healthy. Yeah, all this crap that the media narrative and media pictures of him being photographed at the Smoothie King Center, you know, fat Zion, you know, he was in a big jumpsuit. It was all bullshit. There was fans out there that took timestamp pictures of him a week ago, and he looks great. He looks not in game shape, but he looks terrific. All this garbage out there. Oh, yeah, Zion, while he's home, all he's doing is ordering Uber Eats, and there's just pizza. It's like, the Pelicans there and David Griffin, they don't know how to manage him. So he should just instantly go to the Lakers, or he should just instantly go to the Knicks. Like, get out of here.
Bruh.
Like, the guy, that's like you said, the guy's played 86 games.
But that's where the media's trying to force him to. Of course. Yeah, no, he won't go to the Lakers. If for some reason your team
can't get him, they don't have any picks.
It's the other team. I'm talking about the Knicks. If your team somehow doesn't sign him, they'll be all in for him. I guarantee they'll be all in.
A lot of teams will be all in for him.
Yeah, but I feel like he'll light the bright. Well, he liked apparently the bright lights of New York, thinking they're going to get the number one. But
who doesn't? Steph Curry likes the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. He set the 3-point record there. It was fate.
Everybody who doesn't?
In the league loves MSG.
But you know who doesn't like the bright lights is, and he could have signed there, is the next topic, is Kevin Durant. Why is he playing 37 minutes per game? I know Kyrie's out, but god damn, 37 minutes per game average.
I mean, you don't want to run him into the ground, but what are they at the moment? They've got 9 losses on the season. They're 21 and 9.
And they're on the top of the East. So,
and that's look, and that's all well and good. That's fine. I think once they start to get towards the All-Star break, they're gonna have to start throttling him back. James Harden has been in and out of this lineup this year, and they're relying on him. Joe Harris isn't there at the moment. He's hurt. So it's Kevin Durant and a bunch of misfit mascots, really.
He's coming off a major injury.
Does he look like his old self?
No. Oh, he looks better than his old self.
He looks unbelievable.
I think, and the stats show it, I think he's playing better than his MVP season. Personally, I think he is playing way better than his MVP season. But
he's right up there in the discussion.
But I'm just saying, as for Brooklyn as a whole, can't keep doing what they're doing with him, because they're not gonna have, I would assume, their deep run in the playoffs with him doing this many minutes. They just won't.
No, and I think it might be a matter of they've got the three-headed monster there. So it's going to be we're going to roll with Kevin Durant now while we've got, you know, James Harden in and out of the lineup. He's been back for a little while now. So you've still got those two. Kyrie Irving is you know, won the day at the moment. He's going to be, you know, essentially a part-time player. You know, is what's going to happen with him later on in the season. You know, if Kyrie is only going to be playing road games, then you can throttle Durant back and, you know, maybe, you know, only play him 25 minutes for games on the road because you've still got James Harden and Kyrie Irving that can fuel this side to wins. You can rest Kevin Durant on back-to-backs on the road. You know, when they go on West Coast swings, you know, a lot of times they'll play, you know, 3 games in 4 days or 4 games in 5 days, and they're trying to limit that. But if you've got Kyrie Irving, who's going to be playing road games, we're not 100% sure where, you know, which states he'll actually be able to play road games in.
This is the thing. There was
that's so messy.
They need another. I know they've got, you know, they have bigger bodies in there, but they need another healthy big body just to take those minutes off him, because between Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge, they're not healthy at all. They need another healthy body in there, decent sort of sized body.
Look, I think they're giving them respectable minutes to be able to get through things at the moment. So, look, they're not skipping a beat at the moment, Brooklyn. So all I'm thinking is, as much as you want to say, hey, let's just continue to ride this wave, it's a long season. They're having games postponed. Well, they're having games postponed at the moment because they can't field 8 healthy players.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scary in itself. The Bulls have had a couple of games postponed. Was that 8 or 9 days ago? They've had some games postponed. I think they had 2 games in a row postponed.
They've got 7 healthy players at the moment, Brooklyn.
Exactly. Right, like, now, so Adam Silver's sort of come out and he's basically said that we're not going to put the league on pause at the moment. Like we, you know, discussed off the top, they're easing. I think that it's something along the lines of every player that has gone down now, you are able to replace. Whereas beforehand, you weren't able to replace every single player that has been put into these COVID protocols. Now that I'm pretty sure I'm right on that they've come out, well, Adam Silver's come out and said, anyone that goes through there, you are able to replace that person with whether it's somebody from the G League or, like you said, it's teams signing, you know, guys like Isaiah Thomas, you know, ISO Joe, you know, and guys, you know, Lance Stevenson, and guys like
Jeremy
that,
Lin.
You know, Jamal Crawford, you know,
I've heard heaps of names. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you dangle coming up the trade deadline? Do you dangle, because, you know, technically he's still going to be able to play part time. Do you dangle the Kyrie Irving, you know, fruit out there to see if someone bites?
As in trade wise. I guarantee you they will be.
But because he would.
Kyrie Irving
only really places.
He could realistically only go to
the sort of Texas areas without having any issues.
Yeah, that's right. And look,
your head's thinking right now. I don't know how they would do it, but you know, a Kyrie and a Luka Doncic pairing, does that even work?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, the other one, San Antonio, I don't think they need to do anything. They're young guys are
look,
doing.
Look, they've got the youth movement happening there. Houston's obviously got the youth movement there. I think something that could make a little more sense would be Houston, because you know, John Wall has basically come out and said now that he's not so much that he wants to, well, obviously he wants to play, but his trade value is not getting any better with him not being on the court. So he needs to be able to come out there and say that, hey, look, yeah, this is what I'm doing. in 40 games playing for Houston last year, he was a 20-7 guy. So is that Kyrie Irving? No, but you can package that with draft picks because Brooklyn doesn't have a whole lot of those, and Houston look like that. Yeah, I could only assume that those draft picks will be heavily protected, but you could make some sort of deal with that. But Kevin Durant has basically come out and said to the organization in uncertain words, no, Kyrie Irving's not going anywhere. How long until that attitude changes?
And we need him. And he said we need him to play because we're decimated. Of course they do. So,
their championship, or bust. They were the same thing last year. Their championship or bust.
But especially now,
they cannot get that done without Kyrie.
Especially now, like the way Durant's playing, this to me is their year, if anything. And you're right, they can't do it without Kyrie, so they need to sort of look at something. Speaking of teams looking at something, Portland Trailblazers.
Oh man, they are having. Wow, they're having.
Well, firstly, I wanted to say poor CJ McCollum.
He's sort of propped this team up a little bit with Dame having the season that he's having this year. Like he is gradually getting better, and over the last couple of games, he's gotten really good. His shooting percentage at the moment is still in the toilet. His averages are really down, compared to 5-6 years ago. Like he's only averaging like 22 points per game. He's shooting under 40% from the field. He's shooting just on 30% from three. He played against the Pelicans the other day. The Pelicans railroaded him. He had 39, and he got ejected at the end of the game. Like they can't afford him to be ejected out of that game, especially with no CJ McCollum. There's six games under 500.
Since that injury where he had the collapsed lung, after sort of taking a blow in the ribs there.
Against Boston, December 4 that was.
I don't know if he's going to play ever again. It's that serious, apparently, because he's always in those trade rumors. Every year he's in those trade rumors. I just don't know.
He has been because he's – look, I think he's one of the most – he doesn't get the accolades, I think, that he deserves in the league. Like he – in a different era, he's an absolute all-star and he's a borderline all-NBA player. I think he gets a little overshadowed by what Damian Lillard does.
I do too. Yeah.
If it, wow, that would be such a cruel blow to him and also the Trailblazers franchise, because you circle back to, days gone by of the Brandon Roy's, who look like they're an absolute superstar and gets cruel by injury. You look at Greg Oden, he doesn't even get a chance to start his career. And he's cruel by injury. You have a look at guys like you go all the way, but you go back to Bill Walton, who was the draft pick of the Portland Trailblazers. Never really got off the ground in a Trailblazers uniform. So that's a cruel blow if what you're saying is being floated around out there that he may not be able to play again. That is brutal.
Oh, it's massively brutal because
that's crippling, and I don't want to go to the business side of it, but that's what this is. That's crippling to the franchise.
Well, that you're right. You don't want to go there, but unfortunately, that's like you said. This is a business. I honestly believed that either him or Dame were going to get traded before trade deadline this year. They were finally going to break up, so to speak.
Look, Lillard's been a little bit frustrated with how things have gone with this season, and I guess the new coaching philosophy of Chauncey Billups, who has been sort of a high profile new coach.
He did come out and defend him as well a little bit.
Absolutely. He's been out there and he's known to have been said, I don't want to go anywhere. He wants to stick this through, but there's talk out there that he's that he's been a little frustrated with how things haven't really been going to plan.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're six games under 500. That's not where they want to be. They're last in defensive efficiency in the league, which is not where they want to be. Their road record is horrendous at the moment. They cannot get a win on the road, which is not good, especially if they have playoff aspirations.
That defensive efficiency, because that's the one person that, just because, I guess because he's got sort of some sort of trade value, but has the defensive inefficiencies, I guess, is and could be good on another team, is Jusuf Nurkić. I think if there's, CJ's not available, I think that's trade. A huge, I think
there's
trade,
big
piece.
Trade value. There's big trade value there, but I think he's more important to this team than a lot of people realize.
No, and I'm a big fan of his. I am a big fan.
I love
him. I just
love his game.
I don't know. I just, you know, I really honestly fear for what the Trailblazers could do if they don't do anything. And chances are they don't do anything. They could be in purgatory a little bit, because depending on what happens with CJ.
Not
but
so much that they
have done nothing. They have done nothing.
I think not so much that they don't do anything. I think they can't do anything. I think they're stuck at the moment.
I personally think if I was Dame or the Trailblazers heads himself, just those two get into dinner and just say, Dame, what do you want to do? Like, maybe just be straight out and say.
Oh, they have to. Yeah, they have to include him in any sort of.
Well, that's right.
Moves,
say,
moves going forward for the franchise.
You know, are you in? We possibly have to rebuild whatever that sort of link, you know, talk's going to be.
He's not going to be down with that.
Or do you? Well, that's right. Or do you want to get traded and let's work together to get you traded somewhere? Like, is that the conversation that needs to happen?
Because he doesn't. Well, he doesn't want to leave.
But okay, if he doesn't want to leave, and you're right, he has come out and said, you know, it's you know, all this BS talk out there. He's happy where he is, and it's just what they're going through with a new coach, new GM, new everything. So if that's the case, new coach, new GM, new everything.
That's right, and I think that's
have to.
I think there's a little bit of disharmony there as well. Like, you know, that they've gone through some turmoil. In the upper ranks of management.
You have to rebuild. I know he's not a rebuild player, obviously, but I don't know. I'm completely worried, like you said, about the place.
The thing is, we know how far himself and CJ McCollum can carry you. And just going on past records, it's not very far.
That's what I'm. It's gone once.
It's once
in the bubble.
It's one conference final appearance,
which was in the bubble. And that's it. Otherwise, it's basically
That's a super distorted season. That's a super distorted metric to say.
Otherwise,
we made the
all they do is make the all they do is make the first round, and that's it. So this is why. That's what I'm saying. It's something needs to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I know there's always floating. You know, the Ben Simmons thing's always floated around there, but
Well, there's been talk out there that Dame has sort of said that he wants to play with Ben Simmons. I have no idea how that dynamic will work. And now that you've basically lost a lot of trade value in CJ McCollum, then who do you start to offload there?
Well,
you've got to start mortgaging the future, and that's not good.
No, I think you have to look at someone like Yusuf. I think you have to.
He would be the next in line.
But then with
trade value.
But then he doesn't. You're right. But then he doesn't make sense with Joel Embiid. No way he does.
No, of course he doesn't. No, and that's where it starts to get. You start to get into a slippery slope of bringing a third team in and blah blah blah. It just makes it really messy to try and get deals done.
I'm worried about them. A team on the East, I'm not worried, but I don't know if they're the way they are. They're legit at the moment, and that's the Chicago Bulls. Now, I'll be completely honest. When they were really, really in depth in this free agency that just gone, I was
perplexed a little bit, to be honest, when they signed DeMar to a 3-year, $82 million contract. I thought that was too much. I kind of also thought that, well, it was okay because it was only $20 million, but, you know, 4 for $80 million for Lonzo Ball. But that's not too bad because that's sort of $80 million. But the DeMar DeRozan one, you know, for a 32-year-old player for $82 million guaranteed. Yet, everything's changed there. They're second in the East. They work extremely well as a team. Zach LaVine, who I thought, well, it's probably the whole team. I thought they'd have defensive deficiencies.
I thought they would have massive defensive issues. And they really haven't. They're a mid-table defensive team.
They're not. And everybody except for Zach, who probably will sign on the back of this, is on the books for the 2 to 3 years. So are they a legit team in your eyes this year? Is this second just hyperbole,
I really won't be buying a whole lot of Chicago stock, I guess, until probably after the All-Star break, I guess, and see what sort of record they have there. Team chemistry was obviously going to be a big part of this as well, and it looks like that they've found the right mesh of players, and Lonzo is a totally unselfish player. He's a good distributor of the ball, an unbelievably streaky shooter, but still I think his percentage numbers are down a little bit. So, look, you know, compared to what he was with the Pels the last couple of seasons anyway. So, I know full well what Lonzo Ball can give you.
Yeah, and I think he's the best complement for that team there. I think that was a shrewd signing. I'm not going to pipe up LaVar Ball, but he kind of was right about both his sons, Melo and Lonzo, because they're doing exactly.
All the shit that he sort of said about Jordan do you think that LaMelo Ball should be asking, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, some tips stuff about games? Then he comes out, oh, how many championships he won lately? Like, get out of here, see, the thing is, nobody's talked about him for a while, now all of a sudden, you know, LaMelo Ball has totally overtaken Lonzo as probably being the best baller in the family. I don't think anybody...
No pun, but yes.
No, that's right. But I think everybody knew that was going to happen because he's just exploded onto the scene.
Even the leading assist leader in the NBA, Caruso, signing there for 4 years, $37 million. That's kind of been a shrewd buy as well. Their free agency was really, really good. You're right. I don't know how much stock I'm buying into it. I'll wait till after All-Star break.
I can't just yet. They're new on the scene. It's new money, so to speak. Well, so that currency only lasts so long. Like Nikola Vukovic.
That's the key. So the key
if he keeps playing the way that he is, then I think that's a big linchpin to what they're doing as well.
But I'm out of them because they say if they finish second in the East, does Nikola Vukovic aim up against, and this is where my concern is until I see it, aim up against Giannis and Joel, because those two teams
will
bully. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So the jury could be still out, but they're going pretty good. Well, they're surprising everybody else. I'm telling you now. It's just funny. Like, they just I think I'm going back to San Antonio here. They just, you know, I like DeMar DeRozan. I think you like DeMar DeRozan. He was a flyby under the radar sort of thing at San Antonio, and he's
that's right. And you didn't really hear a lot of him because San Antonio
San Antonio. That's like DeJounte Murray. Exactly. That's happening. DeJounte Murray. That's happening at the moment there. He's probably going to be All-Star this year. How good he's playing. Ooh, geez,
that's a clogged guard, guard heavy conference. I think he'd be hard pressed to be getting an All-Star nod.
Well, we don't even know if who's going to play anyway, if anybody's going to play because of COVID protocols. But I guess because we're coming close to trade deadline, It's not so much I have trade possibilities, but I just want to get your thoughts of these sort of certain players moving because of, for whatever the case.
Because I'm having technical difficulties with the internet here. So
that's because of whatever the news may be, or they want out, or, you know, the team wants to blow up, whatever. But the first person that stands out to me, and I'm a big fan of this guy's, and I hope he does move, and that's Domantas Sabonis.
Look, Indiana have supposedly laid out, you know, Sabonis, Miles Turner, and Caris LeVert.
Well, Domantas has said he wants
on
out.
On the trade block.
Supposedly.
Sabonis has come out lately and said that he wants out. Even Miles Turner's a little bit disgruntled there at the moment.
So,
He's being said there as an afterthought.
What do you think of this for a trade? Only because if, like, this is with the Celtics, so the Celtics would still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but so the Celtics would receive Sabonis, and Indiana would receive Marcus Smart, Grant Williams. Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, Langford, and a 2022 first round pick.
If I was Indiana, I wouldn't even touch that.
Well, that's the thing.
Marcus Smart is a terrific pickup. I don't want any of that other rubbish.
Well, depending on what happens with that first round pick with Boston, but
the thing is, you've got to be able to. Where do all these imaginary roster spots come from?
Grant Williams, you're out on him. Oh yeah, might be a little bit out on him.
But it's the roster spots.
Yeah, I understand.
It's all well and good to do that, but you've either got to go, oh well, we'll just waive him, and then that's a waste of a pickup of a player.
I mean for Celtics, obviously that's great because that's
terrific.
Be
a, of course it is.
Those three guys, that'll be terrific. The other one, because this is sort of going back to the Chicago Bulls. I don't know if you've seen this one, but this is a trade with the Detroit Pistons. Chicago Bulls would receive Jeremy Grant.
Yep.
I've seen this one. Okay, so Detroit would receive Kobe White, Derek Jones Jr., Tony Bradley, and a 2022 first-round pick.
Man, if I'm Detroit, I don't do that.
It's interesting because I'm still...
Like I said, it's all the...
I still got a little bit of stock in Kobe White.
It's three players for one. Like, you've got to be able to create these roster spots.
I don't know about Tony Bradley, but I still have a little bit of stock in Kobe White. Well, more than Derek Jane Jr., but I have a little bit of stock in Kobe White. I still think there's something there in him personally.
He's more of a very sort of ball dominant, shoot first point guard. So, you know, you take that, you know, what you will, but how that fits in into Detroit sort of, I guess, rebuilding with Cade Cunningham there, who's gotten a lot better as the season sort of progressed a little bit. He looked really ordinary as the season started, but he started to get a lot better, and Detroit is starting to, they're not putting the fear of God in people, but, they've only got, five wins on the season, but...
Yeah.
Look, I think they're as a team are looking a lot better, even though they're not getting the wins on the board. But
I think so.
They feel like they're
a fun team, more so like Houston. They're a fun team to watch because of the youth.
It's youth.
So the other two trades I had here were there was a Knicks trade with Sacramento Kings.
Ooh, yes, I did see that. Oh, that's tasty.
It is tasty. So De'Aaron Fox would be the Knicks' new franchise point guard. The Kings would receive
another lefty. What is it with them and lefties?
Yeah, good point. The Kings would receive Obi Toppin, Kemba Walker, Alex Burke, a 2022 and a 2023 first rounder.
I think they're mortgaging too much the future there. I think you can maybe get that done with one less draft pick, or do the two draft picks and maybe keep Alec Burks. because I like what he, I like what Burks has been doing there in New York this year, especially since you know, Kemba Walker got benched earlier. Now he's back in the starting lineup, so he's sort of got a, he's kind got a little of, bit of a reality.
You're
change.
Right. You're right. I kind of.
And Alec Burks stepped into that starting role, especially in the 2 weeks that came after Kemba Walker got benched, performed really well. With the Knicks, it's all about how well or how much Evan Fournier can improve with this team.
And because
he was their supposed big
AJ Barrett needs a better performance as well.
AJ Barrett is oh,
I love
man,
AJ
so,
Barrett.
He's so
I love
inconsistent.
AJ Barrett. I love him.
So inconsistent though.
And that's not a complete dead tear down to me for the Sacramento.
No, absolutely
they
not.
Get
look,
some
look,
nice pieces.
The Knicks made a massive mistake in drafting Obi Toppin because what does he give you? For Wait, what was he? Number eight pick? Like what a waste of a pick.
He's been far better this year. He's averaging 19.7 points and 8.8 rebounds this year. So he has with 36 minutes. So he is playing a lot better this year. And
Obi's averaging 19 points a game?
Yes, he is averaging 19 points a game at the moment. He is.
I think that's where they've started. Look, the Knicks have really they've
so they could be a trade piece.
They
that's
have stunk it up.
So that's but what I'm saying is
they have stunk it up the last couple of weeks.
They could push him
up, starting hot.
Yeah, that could push his trade value up a little bit. So the last trade, well, it has to involve Ben Simmons, doesn't it? So it's a three-team trade.
And it does.
I fail to see how both all three of these teams accept it, but I read it and I'll go with what they say. So Portland would receive Ben Simmons and Miles Turner and Danny Green. Indiana would receive CJ McCollum. And this was only this was yesterday. So they're clearly still thinking CJ is going to be all right. This is only yesterday all this come out. So the Indiana will receive CJ McCollum, Nazir Little, Cody Zeller, a 2024 first rounder and a 2022 second rounder. Philadelphia would receive Caris LeVert, Norman Powell, and Larry Nance Jr. I don't like any of that to be complete. I mean, except for Portland. Portland would just be.
Look, I think Philly don't do awful out of that.
Yeah, with Indiana don't they? They lose Miles Turner, but then
I mean, Indy only gets the raw end. They only get the raw end of it because CJ can't play at the moment.
No, well that's right, but they're all losing Miles Turner and Caris LeVert. So what are they getting in return?
No, I'd much rather have CJ McCollum and team him with Malcolm Brogdon in that backcourt. I think that would be a very nice backcourt.
If he's okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
no, that's right. That's the only reason I think why the Pacers get a little bit screwed by that because they don't get the instant, the instant success of having CJ on the court right now. Look, that's not awful.
No, it's not awful.
I don't think that's awful. Philadelphia needs help at the moment because the way that they're sort of going at the moment, it's Joel Embiid. Like Tobias Harris has fallen off a cliff.
That's exactly right. Ben Simmons needs to move at this deadline. Otherwise, I'm 76ers would be gone this year. I don't think I can see them winning this year. Or even making the Eastern Finals.
No, look, I think they still could because they've still got that star power there. I think they've got good floor spreaders in Seth Curry and Danny Green if they can sort of still stay hot the way that they're going at the moment. Joel Embiid's Joel Embiid. So they're gonna heavily rely on him, but it all comes down to which Tobias Harris you're going to get. If you're going to continue to get this Tobias Harris for the rest of the season, then absolutely not. Then they're not going to progress very far in the Eastern Conference. If they can get Tobias Harris of previous years, if Doc Rivers can sort of get the best out of him, which he did get the best out of him at the Clippers, then I think you may have something.
The last one I wanted to throw out there because it popped out because it involved your team, I'm sorry. And it wasn't moving Brandon Ingram and it wasn't moving Zion Williamson. So this wasn't a trade, but it was working out some sort of package. I did read that the Pelicans are considering a Ben Simmons deal.
Yeah, not going to happen.
For which way? For both? Do you just not like it for your team?
I don't like it for my team because he's not going to put his heart and soul into the team playing in New Orleans.
Fair. I mean, well, you're right, because if you're looking at AD that was traded away from New Orleans under the Rich Paul banner, so to speak, which is Ben Simmons is under, you're probably
Rich Paul
right
does
there.
Not, Rich Paul does not have a very good relationship with A, the city of New Orleans, and the franchise, the Pelicans.
No, he does. No, he definitely does not. So I don't know. There was just some ones I threw out there. Some of them aren't sort of too bad. I feel like something big's going to happen. I don't know who and with what, but something big's surely going to happen before the end of this trade deadline.
Well, look, nothing really happened a whole lot last year, really. No earth-shattering deals.
No, nothing really massively. No. So
I thought it was pretty ordinary last year. So, look, these GMs or these franchises have got to put their heads together but it's all about player empowerment too. Like, so Ben Simmons, whether or not it's himself or whether it's going to be Rich Paul in his ear saying, you know, absolutely not. We're not going to New Orleans because I think that will be another thing. It'll just be, well, I just refuse to play here. It'll be like a Kyrie Irving sort of thing. Kyrie Irving, there's only going to be a certain amount of teams that he himself will come out and say, yes, I will play for. So a trade for New Orleans for Ben Simmons is just not going to happen.
I think he'll go somewhere on the West Coast. I just don't know where, but we'll just have to wait and see.
And that's the thing as well. There's only going to be a certain amount of team. Like, you know, he came out early and said, "Oh, I want to play at Golden State." Like, oh, geez, you're not shooting real high there, are you? Like, give me a break. Yeah, he's got zero leverage at the moment. Zero.
Who are they going to give up, really? Because at the end of the day,
James Wiseman and then. Philadelphia is not taking that. They want like for like. Philadelphia, yeah, Daryl Morey has come out and said he wants star for star. He doesn't want to get into all the BS of, let's get some draft picks for 2025 and 2027. He wants star for star.
It's not going to happen. I don't care what he says.
Philadelphia's
not going to happen.
He knows their window is open now. He wants star power for star power.
It's not going to
happen. And that's a very hard deal.
There's no like-for-like star for him. So there isn't because he's not playing.
That's right.
So
that's such a hard deal to do.
Funnily enough, before we move on to the next topic, the one that sort of made sense is CJ McCollum. He's now the president of the Players Union. He's taken over from Chris Paul, which is interesting.
Chris Paul, yeah.
It's probably across the board, but what do you think of the rookies this year? I think that
it's like most rookie classes. Like, you know, all the focus is on the top guys.
I think there's two or three.
This is a solid class.
I think this is a way better class than last year. I think there's five or six. What?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's five or six players that are starting, you know, I'll probably go to six that are starting to, you know, light up their franchise. And we can start at the number six, our boy Josh Giddey.
He's killing it.
He is doing things that no one expected. I would say not the Thunder did, but the fans.
OKC this year, like we had zero expectations on Oklahoma City this year, and look, they're surprising a few people. They got 11 wins on the board already.
Yeah, well, and they've got 1,000 draft picks. It'll be interesting what they're going to do too. They could, like, I think, you know, you've got SGA and Giddy. Like, that's your backcourt. So, you know, play around with the front court. But those two, yeah, Giddy's been, oh my God. It's surprising how quick he got to where he is at the moment. That's all I'm getting at.
Look, I guess that, yeah, the one year here down under has really helped.
Possibly.
And I want to see more of that, of that American talent, young American talent, come down here. You know, we obviously know, you know, Giddy is he's a homegrown boy, but you want to see some of these young guys bypass the college system and go and play in Europe. Come down here and play here. Do you know what I mean? And play against men. And that toughens them right up. Like, look at LaMelo Ball. Like, come down here, and yes, he did get hurt while he was down here, but I reckon that was huge for his development. He stepped 100%. Straight in the NBA, and he was a star.
He said it. He even said it. He said he played against men, and it helped him.
That's right.
He played against actual men, not boys. He played against men, so that was a difference.
And when you're a star kid like that, you're going to have guys, they're going to come after you.
Oh, of course they will. Of course they will. The other four sort of big ones that, I mean, probably no more so than Evan Mobley, but Cade Cunningham, we mentioned Detroit's going as well. Scotty Barnes is my favorite rookie this year. The dude is a defensive monster.
I'm split between him and Evan Mobley because I really like what Cleveland are doing this year. I don't think Cleveland's getting the props and the fanfare of what they're doing this year because they are over exceeding what I think a lot of people thought that the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to be this year.
I think a lot of it's got
to do with him.
Yeah, I 100%. I think the dude
Darius Garland's been good
two years possibly. And only probably taken two. I think the dude's a superstar, Evan Mobley. I really, really do. He's doing defensive stops, 14.6 points per game and 8 rebounds. But his defensive stops, it's like he's been in the league for 2 or 3 years. The way he's playing,
he's fit in really well at Cleveland.
That's right. And I mean, I'll be the first to say I wrote off Cleveland thinking, okay, you've got nothing ever Mobley, you've got Laurie Markkanen, you've got Kevin Love, like you've got Jared Allen. It all seems to work there.
That's a good squad.
Well, it's a great squad, but I didn't think they would keep all those bigs, but it seems to work there.
No, that's right. And see now, all the trade talks and all the movement, rumors around Kevin Love have all subsided, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All the teams out there that weren't willing to pay that massive contract that Kevin Love's got at the moment, you know, whether or not he could be, you know, on the move this trade deadline now that he's starting to, it's the same sort of deal as John Wall. He's on the court now. He's playing fairly well, and there could be contenders that are out there that might look to sort of pluck him away from Cleveland.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, he is playing well. He really is playing well. I think so. What do you think of the MVP race? Is it just two guys at the moment?
Probably three. I mean, Giannis is up there.
But he's probably still got to be there, doesn't he? But
Jokic, you can probably go four. Jokic is still up there. Like, man, he has got that Denver Nuggets franchise on his back.
Completely underrated what he's doing at the moment. Completely underrated.
He's putting up on Gordy numbers.
No one's talking about him. They're just talking about the top two.
So, Denver is just staying afloat at 500 at the moment.
And that's why they're not talking about him. But on record, and I only say two because, you know, they look at the records and everything. I mean, Steph Curry is doing things again, but
that's the clear favorite.
And then Kevin Durant,
that's right.
There you too. You're right. Giannis will be around there, but there you too.
What Curry is doing at the moment, You know, obviously with overtaking Ray Allen, you know, on the all-time three-pointers list, he's averaging like 4.5 threes a game. Like that's the kind of numbers that he was putting up in his MVP season.
Yeah.
In his unanimous MVP season. Like he's on track for 380, 385 threes this year.
This is why it's going to be hard, because Durant's doing way better than his numbers from his MVP season last year. So what the hell do you do? Do you just go on record and just sort of see what happens? Because they're both on top. So I don't know. It's going to be hard. I think it's a two-headed race in the MVP at least.
It is at the moment. And like I said, you know, yeah, Steph is doing, man, he's already, he's going unbelievable. And Klay Thompson is,
you know, and
very, very close to coming back.
And you know who is doing well for that team this year? Well, we're talking about the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins,
Jordan Poole, guys like that are really stepping up.
Draymond's still doing Draymond things. Like that team's just, you know, they got Kuminga. What, you know, Jonathan Kuminga. Like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's looking good. You know, as that rookie class.
That team is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, really? Wiseman hasn't even come back yet.
No, that's right. It's yeah, that team is, well, I mean, we'll talk about my Lakers straight after this, but I don't see anyone coming close to at the moment on the West probably the Suns, maybe.
Look, Phoenix. Phoenix look legit again. You know, with their sort of, I guess they've got sort of not so much the best of both worlds, but I think they've got a really nice balance there in Phoenix, with Bridges, the way that he's sort of a 3-and-D sort of guy. We all know what CP3 provides. Devin Booker, who's been hurt lately, but he's back, and DeAndre Ayton's improvement, you know, as a big guy. I really like the balance of what Phoenix does.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Utah are not to be sneezed at as well. Again, it's just, unfortunately, it's just they seem to fade out every year, that they have a great regular season. And then when it comes to playoff time, it's the fact that teams and coaches know how to scheme and know how to take Rudy Gobert out of the game. And then you basically got to rely on, especially in the last couple of years, you got to rely on Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, and you know, and the last three seasons in Bogdanovich as well. So it's whether or not they can continue on their sort of their hot run. I think those three teams they're obviously the clear favorites in the West, and probably doing the best thing. I think the Clippers have been a major disappointment this year. Even though, yeah, PG-13 has been pretty solid.
He has. Yeah.
They're just awaiting Kawhi. And have you heard anything about Kawhi this year? Because I sure as hell haven't.
No.
The quietest superstar I think in the league in the last 20 years.
Yeah. No, I've heard Bupkis. Absolutely nothing.
It's so secretive.
Oh. I mean, you may as well be. Why not? I mean, I guess, does it really make a difference? Yeah, no, it is weird.
You'd think he'd have paparazzi and all sorts of weirdos for chasing him.
Maybe he's good at that. Maybe
LA.
He knows how to stay away from all that. So,
It's not as if he'd be able to hide.
Well, no, this is true. Yeah, he's a big dude.
You can't hide in LA. You can't.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that.
It's the second biggest city in America, but if you're a star. Doesn't matter whether you're a sports star or whether you're a movie star or a TV star, you can't hide in LA.
Do we need to? Now you mentioned LA, do we need to talk about the Lakers?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, look, man, like they're your team, man. They're your team.
I think they are
very much underachieving the way that they're going at the moment.
Of course they are.
LeBron has been out this year again.
AD has been injured again. He's going to be
out. What's Charles Barkley call him? Street clothes AD. What he is, man. It's what he is.
I am extremely fearful of where this franchise will be in 2 or 3 years. When I say 2 or 3 years, I mean LeBron could just all of a sudden, he could go, oh, I like the way this Cleveland team's playing. I might go back there and finish my career at Cleveland.
Ooh.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, why not? But he's setting himself up. He's setting himself up for life after basketball. And
I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I get that. I'm just saying what I'm getting. But the point I'm getting at is I'm completely fearful of this team because the money that's chewed up between him, AD, and Russell Westbrook is a third of, literally a third of, the probably even more. It'd be close to a half of the salary. Surely it's close to half of the salary.
Oh, yeah, it'd be gigantic because we know that Westbrook.
We have no youth. I like Russell Westbrook. I do like Russell Westbrook. I'm not going to lie. I do like the way he plays. I do like his intensity. I do like that he does give a shit. But I don't think he's a fit for this team.
Sometimes it's misguided intensity and he gets extremely reckless. And then
he could technically be a trade piece still. He has some sort of value still. Big contract,
can't be on their mind.
Well, they're probably going to just scrape in the play-in because that's where I'm seeing them at the moment. Just at the play-in.
Well, they're hovering at the moment. They're at 500 at the moment as well. So, you know, they're a mediocre team, and that's not good. Like when you've got LeBron, who's, 36 now, if he's trying to hand the keys to the franchise over to AD, you can't. We talked about this before. You can't trust AD to stay healthy. His last couple of years in New Orleans, it looked like he was starting to turn the corner and starting to get healthy and rid himself of those shoulder injuries. But now it's all sorts of stuff. It's back injuries. Now he's got a medial sprain. It's a never ending trip to the IR for him. It's unbelievable.
It is. It's unbelievable. I thought him putting. It would look like it, especially after the bubble. Him putting on from when he left your guys to the Lakers, he started putting on the weight in Pelicans, but then obviously beefed up when he went to the Lakers. And he was.
That, like, was a natural progression anyway. If he had stayed in New Orleans, he was always going to keep stacking weight on.
But he was, and you mentioned it right at the start of this pod, he was awesome in the bubble. He was unbelievably awesome in the bubble. He should have probably finals MVP, LeBron.
LeBron might have got finals MVP, but AD was absolutely the reason that the Lakers...
AD should have got the finals MVP in my opinion.
He should have got the finals MVP.
Personally. But
he is the oil of Olay for LeBron, and he's trying to keep him young at the moment, and when you can't trust him to stay on the court because it's a never-ending stint on the bench in street clothes... Then it puts so much pressure on Russell Westbrook, who
the entire team.
Sort of, it doesn't look like he takes the pressure with a grain of salt because he plays, like you said, he plays with such intensity, plays with such passion. But he can get a little bit too overzealous, and that's to the detriment of himself and the attention that he brings on himself. And the team.
I would just hope that they, like, this isn't, I'll put it this way, it's not Frank Vogel's fault. And I really hope they don't let it.
No, but he's absolutely in the hot seat, though.
Yeah, but that's what I hate. That's bullshit. That's absolutely crap.
It comes with the job. Of course, it's BS.
I understand it does, but.
It's not fair.
If it comes with a job, then he should be saying, well, maybe we need to trade someone. Because.
Who's out?
I don't know. It's all well and good. That's the thing.
You put Vogel on the hot seat. Who's better out there to come in and run this franchise? Like if you're going to be in the coaching
ranks
again.
Salaries and all that, and there's Nothing. I'm talking about you're talking about if we got rid of AD.
No, I'm talking about if they fire Frank Vogel.
Oh.
What are they going to do? Bring Stan Van Gundy back out of out of the TNT booth, who is absolutely, oh my god, he is loving being back in the booth again. Like a podcast that I listen to, he still lives in Florida, and he just, oh my god, he is so loose at the moment. Yeah, you know, after having that season from hell with New Orleans, but.
If they keep going the way they keep going, I'd try to poach Rick Carlisle from the Pacers.
That's not going to happen. They paid big bucks to get Carlisle from.
He might get over that as well. So I don't know. And yeah,
that's true as well.
I don't know. The whole team is that they'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to scare anybody. They're sure as hell not scaring anybody this year, so yeah.
Well, those top three teams in the West, they're not putting the fear of God in them.
No, not even close.
And Golden State, to me, like even though at the moment the Phoenix Suns are on top of the conference at the moment, the Golden State Warriors are I think far and above. The best team in the league at the moment, I don't even think it's close.
No.
And that's taking a little bit of shine off Utah and Phoenix and Brooklyn, but it's just the style that they're playing in at the moment. It's sustainable. You still have a Clay superstar and Clay Thompson coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You get James Wiseman back if he can start giving you some meaningful minutes. They are a scary prospect.
Great rookie. Their depth on the bench is ridiculous. Yeah, no, they are primed to win this year. Absolutely primed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that shows in the betting as well. Like I think that there's a lot of people putting a boatload of money, on the Warriors even this early in the season. We're 30 games through, so you know we're essentially over a third of the way through the season.
Oh, interesting. They're still outsiders to Brooklyn. Interesting. What do you reckon? That's crazy. It's double too. What do you reckon?
Well, Brooklyn's probably 250, and I'd say the Warriors would be five, right?
Brooklyn is 360. This is on Sportsbet, and Golden State are $7.
I'm jumping on that.
That's ridiculous.
$7.
That's cash.
That is. That's free money.
That's you put that in a little tease with that's ridiculous. Even just to bump it up, you put it in a tease with Steph to win the MVP. That's ridiculous.
Well, at this point of the season, I think he's got that in the bag.
Well, I would say I'll put the Warriors, Steph Curry, and Scottie Barnes.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah. Yep. I think
and you
so.
could even make a case for somebody like Jordan Poole to be most improved.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's definitely fair. Most improved.
He's improved out of sight this year. And you know, and that's what happens. What comes with, you know, being on a team like the Warriors, where you can be a little bit more free, you know, a little bit more sort of fancy free, you know, carefree sort of play, you know, rather than being under the pump on a mediocre team or a poor team, you know, sort of stat padding a little bit.
I'd even throw a DeJounte Murray at $8.50. That's not a bad slice.
It's most improved.
Well, Miles Bridges is still far and away by $2.88. I just think that'll scare me a bit. Keep going
through the list, and I'll tell you my pick.
Okay, so $2.88 Miles, Ja Morant's $5.50.
No.
Anyway, DeJounte at $8.50, LaMelo at $10, no. Darius Garland at $13, Jordan Poole at $23.
Yep, keep going.
Carl Anthony at $26. Anthony Edwards at 31, Jared Allen at 31, Tyler Hero at 36.
Yeah, see, Tyler, I think Tyler Hero, he's got that six-man wrapped up. I don't think it's going to be...
And the rest of
I don't think it's going to be a most improved. The rest of 60s, 90s. Keep them coming.
Oh, really? Keep them coming. I'm not going to go into the money, but the rest of 60s to 100. So Tyrese Maxey, Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan. Bingo. Caruso.
Nah, Tyrese Maxey.
$61.
I know, and I'm dirty because I locked him in at $26.
You really think Tyrese Maxey is going to win most improved player of the year?
He has stepped into that Ben Simmons role so well. I think he has improved out of sight. And I think he's another big reason why that backcourt in Philadelphia, that not so much that they're sort of treading water, like they're having an underwhelming season, but I really don't think they're missing Ben Simmons that much.
No, no, they need something to push, but you're right, they're not missing him that much. No, I completely agree with that.
I think this team would be there or thereabouts with Ben Simmons at that, you know, at this point. I don't think they're losing a whole lot with Tyrese Maxey being their starting point guard at the moment.
No, I don't think so either. Just to finish on how we're looking for the Christmas games this year.
I think the Christmas games at the moment looking like being plunged into chaos.
Yeah, they are. They're...
See, I don't know if they're going to start shuffling around the actual lineup, like when the times when they play. But Luka looks like he's not going to be playing Christmas Day.
At the moment,
if anybody else of those big guns goes down for the Christmas game, I don't know what they do.
At the moment, the marquee games remain scheduled, but they're looking for contingencies in case any of the Christmas Day games are to be postponed. So, I don't know. I mean,
I'm very much looking forward to sort of getting up quite early on Boxing Day to watch me some NBA before the Boxing Day test starts.
So, as it stands, the lineup is the Hawks at the Knicks, the Celts at the Bucks. The Warriors, this is in order, obviously, for Christmas Day. Warrior at Suns. Oh, God, that's going to be a good game.
That's going to be. Woo-hoo-hoo.
The Nets at the Lakers and the Mavs at the Jazz.
Look, it's a solid Christmas Day lineup.
Oh, it's a solid Christmas Day lineup, but there's, especially for the Knicks, if you look at all of them, every team that's on, especially the Nets, every team looking at the COVID protocols has at least three players in the COVID protocols. Every team. Yeah,
and look, I don't think that's going to affect their bottom line that much because people are going to tune in anyway. I'm pretty sure is there a couple of NFL games on Christmas as well?
There certainly is on Christmas Day. Yeah, it's a Boxing Day for us extravaganza. It's just everything.
I'd really like TV companies or pay TV companies to be able to have the ability to do split screens.
Well, you can. Well, if you have what's called a KO Sports subscription, you can have four split, which is what I'm doing on Boxing Day. I did last year. You can have four different sports going 100%.
Why can't Foxtel provide me with that?
I don't know, because it's the same company. But you're right. But you're right. They should. The Christmas games are the Browns at the Packers. And, interesting one, the Colts at the Cardinals.
Oh.
That'll be a good one. That'll be a really good one. So there your Christmas games for the NFL. Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I mean, I think that's pretty easy, no?
It is. It's a Christmas movie. I don't care what anybody says. It's not the traditional All I Want for Christmas or White Christmas or anything like that movie extravaganza. It is a action movie that everybody loves, and I put it on at nearly every Christmas time or around the December, and that would be Die Hard. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Die Hard is
Surprisingly,
it's I love it. It's the meme that's out there, and it's there are two people in this world. There are those that think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and those that are wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Surprisingly, I only watched it 2 weeks ago. Surprisingly, still, you know, I love the movie anyway, but still holds up. Like, it's not
but
what I'm saying is there's no dated things in there. There's no, like, you know, what's happening in there is quite on what's happening really in today's society. So it's not really dated in aspects. So whether it be like the black cop and the white cop, like getting all the black, you know, black and whites getting together, cocaine in business, you know, the whole
cocaine in big business.
yeah, everything, terrorism, like everything, literally everything still holds up. There's nothing like that's dated in that at all. Except for probably Bruce Willis's hairline, but that's about it.
Nah, well, that too, and probably tape decks in limousines. Like, that's probably a bit dated.
That's right. I forgot about that one. Oh, that is aged poorly, tape decks. So we'll have to do. That'd be a good movie to break down every little thing, because there's certain things I'd love to go over you and see. Well, what? Yeah. Oh man, I'd love to break that movie down. Because it's surprising people that were supposed to be cast in that movie. And that Bruce Willis was always number one, but there's other people that are supposed to be cast in that movie instead of Alan Rickman. And I'm so glad
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Perfect villain.
Perfect casting.
So, yeah, well, I'm glad we both picked Die Hard. I mean,
that's it. Yeah, 100%. That's a given. Like,
I was always a sucker as a child for a Home Alone.
You know, oh, absolutely! Like, yeah, as a kid, and even growing up now, like when Home Alone and Home Alone 2's on, you can't help but watch it.
Yeah, yeah, those two. I'm glad you didn't. I stopped at two, because don't go to three or anything else after that.
There's no such thing as Home Alone after Home Alone 2. Sorry,
there's no such thing. You're right.
Those movies just don't exist. And look, while the Die Hard movies absolutely exist after number two, because Die Hard with a Vengeance is awesome. They probably went a little bit too far with Die Hard, you know, the next couple of Die Hard movies. But anyway, it's an absolute Christmas movie.
Yep.
So many good one-liners in it. You can't go past it. Like, it's one of those movies that, yeah, when it's on and you're flicking through TV, and that might be a dated reference these days, flicking through TV channels. You can't help but watch it.
Yeah, you're right. No, if you're flicking through on any streaming and it's 10 minutes through and you go, yeah, okay, I'm locked in, especially when some coked up fiend comes up to it, goes, Hans, booby.
I'm your white knight.
That line. And then, yeah, Rickman just blasts him. But anyway, great movie. Like, yeah, I personally liked, I mean, after three, they get a bit weird, but goddamn, three's a little bit underrated, in my opinion. It's a little bit underrated.
Underrated? I think it's the second best one out of all of them. Good, really, like Die Hard 2. Look, don't get me wrong, Die Hard 2 is good, and it's got some good one liners in it. But they were 100% cashing in on the
first one.
Yeah. It's right. Cashing in on that cash cow from number one. But Die Hard with a Vengeance is 100% the second best of that movie franchise.
Yeah, it's underrated. Like, a lot of people don't talk about, I mean, they talk about the original, but they don't really talk about the third one. You know, and Samuel Jackson was awesome. Awesome.
Samuel's a man in it.
I think I just liked it because the whole, like, you know, almost scavenger hunt around the whole New York City. You got to see New York City and Jeremy Irons as a great villain.
He's unbelievable in it.
It was just the whole thing. It was awesome. Very, very good. So please, everyone, watch Die Hard. I want to watch Die Hard 3 tomorrow. So everyone, watch Die Hard 1, 2, and then watch 3 with me tomorrow. But watch Die Hard first, please.
No, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure. I only watched Die Hard last week, so it's I'm sure it'll be on again. Like we said, you know, Christmas is upon us.
It's not happening, mate. If you any streaming, you've got, if you just have one streaming service and it's on all 20 of them. It's on all of them. It's on Netflix and on everything. So,
well, Foxtel's got its own Christmas movie channel at the moment too. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be. Yeah, it's opportunistic, but it's like you said, it's streaming services as well, and I'm sure it's yep. It would only be a very short few clicks away to get yourself some Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi Plaza. which still exists. That's, I mean, I love to break down that
building movie. Itself yeah. still exists. I'm just trying to think what it's called off the top of my head.
Nah, it's called something else now. But yeah, it's, oh my God, that movie. Well, that is it for our NBA pod. As always, our socials are Facebook and Twitter. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. Especially with Facebook, Final Play Podcast, where you'll get all our links to all the streaming podcasts, including Spotify and SoundCloud. Plug up your boys. What are they doing for Christmas? Grimco.com.au.
NBA Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Break happening at the moment for the nice. NBA, like we're discussing right now. I've got my ticket in it.
Who'd you get?
I only bought that just a few hours ago, but there's still quite a few spots left in the Christmas Eve NBA break. Pretty good lineup. A lot of 2021 products. Pretty good value as they always are. You can get onto that on gimko.com.au, so gimko.com.au. You can also find us on there. We're in the community tab of that, so you can either click on the blog section. Sometimes it's a little bit goofy, and then you click on it twice, and the podcast section comes up, so you can check us out on gimko.com.au. Always a massive shout-out to those guys, so... it's the Century, it's in Century City, Nakatomi Plaza, which is not called Nakatomi Plaza. So, I couldn't think where it was, Century City. But, always a big shout out to those guys, at Eureka Sports Cards. That's on Facebook. And then gimco.com.au. They're always appreciative of what they do for us. So, obviously wishing everybody out there a big fat Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourselves on Christmas Day. And it should be a good day. I'm sure a lot
Christmas
of people
Day will be good, and then Boxing Day is just going to be a sports extravaganza.
Yeah, Boxing Day is going to be total insanity for sports. So my eyeballs will be popping out of my head.
If you're not in the sports. Well, if you're not into sports, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. But if you're not into sports, I would completely recommend going and seeing Spider-Man No Way From Home, which is quite possibly one of the best, definitely one of the best Spider-Mans I've seen. And it's definitely one of the best Marvel, Marvel movies I've seen. It is unbelievable.
Does it reach your top five Marvel movies of all time?
I'd have to relook at my list, but I would say it's close. You go and watch it. I mean, you'll watch it, but my God, it's everything and more. It's insane. It's insane for a lot of reasons, but it's. You can look at the trailers alone and just how they're tying in to the other multi-universes, so to speak.
Terrific
storyline. It's everything. It's the special effects are the special effects, but it's probably just the plot, because I think, honestly, the last few Marvel movies, personally, after Endgame, have been a little bit plot-derived, personally. I think it's more centered around the TV shows. Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that.
No, look, that's what they sort of had to do if they wanted to sort of push the Disney Plus out there for everybody. And look, while I love the TV shows that they pumped out on Disney Plus, I haven't watched Hawkeye at the moment. I'm sort of hanging on the rest of those and going to super binge watch those.
Good. I haven't watched that yet either. Apparently really good. So, but yeah, this new Spider-Man, yeah, it's quite possibly in my top five. It's that good.
And I reckon I'd have to bump something out of my top five Marvel then if it's gonna.
You wait till you see it. I know you'll think it's one of the best, at least of the Marvels in the last few years. That's especially after the Avengers Endgame. I'd be surprised if you don't. I'll be surprised if you don't say that. So it's that good. It was really good. It just shocked me in a good way. And that's why Sony would never get rid of this was going to be
batshit crazy because
Sony would never get rid of it as well. Sony owns Spider-Man.
The way that Loki ends, and you know, so you sort of don't want to spoil it, but yeah, that there's obviously interdimensional and timelines and stuff like that as Loki ends. So it's sort of not so much ties into that, but that sort of you start to get into that, and then I think it's next year is going to be Doctor Strange.
Trailer's just come out because it's tied into this Spider-Man movie. Absolutely. By the looks of it. So it was a really good Sony will never get rid of and by fair why would you get rid of the Spider-Man franchise, considering just before we finish it made. So, we're not just in Australia, but the US are going through this Omicron strain of COVID. But somehow, Spider-Man made $260 million in its opening weekend, which is...
Second best all time, something like that?
Second best all time, just behind Avengers Endgame. But, so it's not so much the context of where it sits in that. It's the context of what we're in right now, and that's unbelievable.
That's mind blowing.
That people went out on a school holidays possibly over there, but a non-holiday, and watched a movie and risked their health.
There's a lot of hype around it.
Yeah, I know, but to get $260 million during this pandemic, it was well worth it. Go and see it. 100%. Everyone go and see it.
Yeah,
so I know there's a long name, but that's how I'm finishing my name. That was how I did like a whole name thing there, but I'll say Smith at the end.
I was just going to come out with Miles Yippee-ki-yay. I won't give the rest of that away.
I nearly said my name's Jason Booby Smith, but I need to talk about Spider-Man. It was definitely a boxing.
Absolutely, Spider-Man is definitely on the list.
Definitely a boxing.
It's
definitely a holiday movie, if you know what I mean. It's dominating.
And I can't wait for January 1 for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
We'll talk about that one off the pod. I've heard stuff. So have a go.
I so don't want to be disappointed by that movie, and I know I won't be.
Okay. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right. Surya, have a good Christmas, everybody.
Yep, definitely. And stay safe. See ya.